Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Rose Columbo, the legendary and crusader and advocate for justice for three decades now, informing you of what is coming to America. Well, it is here. It isn't coming any longer. It is here. Are you awake yet? Because I coined that term in 1989. Wake up America is the American dream on the verge of the American nightmare. Well, today we have a very dynamic returning guest, and she is Joyce Alexander Black. And today's topic is of everyone's interest because children around the world are the responsibility of adults. So today we're going to talk about protecting the children and informing the parents how to protect their children from kidnappers, child trafficking, and what they should do in particular cases and how to keep them from harm. Very important topic because thousands and thousands and thousands of children have gone missing over the decades. I personally interviewed Senator John DeCamp when he wrote the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, and he was threatened along with his family if he continued to expose the Franklin Cover-Up. And of course, that was a serious investigation, but unfortunately, the reporter with the evidence lying to the chairman of the Franklin Cover-Up Committee died in a plane crash with his little boy in the plane as well as the evidence. So everything was destroyed. The book is still, I believe, available online, but Senator John DeCamp told me that it's going to take a huge awakening of the entire United States of America's moral, ethical, and not only the public, but the leaders of this country to secure the border, to protect the children, and to vet everyone that enters into the USA, because the FBI has told us that traffickers have been coming into our country since 1993, drug smugglers and gun smugglers, and that China also, after Clinton opened the borders, allowed Costco, COSCO, a Chinese shipping company, to access the Long Beach Navy base and the port. And they were smuggling in weapons and contraband, and yet they were allowed to continue to lease the naval base, which he wanted to give away, but the people protested, to lease the naval base and the Long Beach United States port to Costco for $14.5 million per year. So if they were smuggling weapons into the USA with the blessings of the White House and the Congress and the Department of Justice, who allowed them to continue their imports and exports in and out of international waters that should be protected by the American government, who's to say they weren't smuggling? So we're going to talk to you today and discuss that particular issue so we can protect the children, save the children, as many as possible, by providing awareness. education for your children on how to hopefully avoid being kidnapped. So on that note, I'm going to take a break because we're going to enter into the Justice Club today, because this is a judicial issue. It involves Child Protective Services. It involves bribes for children. It involves the family law court and the juvenile facilities and foster care and so forth. This is not a small issue. This is a huge issue, not only in the United States of America, but is happening around the world. So on that note, before we enter into the Justice Club, let's take a break and remember that there are dark forces out there who, according to the political satire Obamasaurus, conquered the Judeo-Christian dinosaur nation.
The Justice Club is back on Colombo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
And yes, time flies. So let's get started and enter into the Justice Club today with our very special author who has a book coming up soon, I hope. Very important book. And also she has audio tapes for your educational purposes and relaxation, Sandra Black. And we'll have her tell us a little bit about her background for those of you who aren't familiar with Joyce Alexander Black. Hi, Joyce. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today, Rose?
I'm doing great, too. We have beautiful weather here. Fortunately, Hillary didn't hit here as hard as the news said. We only had some rain and some wind in our Southern California area, and it bypassed us. So we were pretty fortunate and blessed that way. And so Hillary hurting her, we were, I should say. other than that, you know, everything's good. It's good to be 6 feet above the ground and be able to talk about how to protect the children and how to protect them from being safe and free from being kidnapped as well. And so, Joyce, before we get started,
Absolutely. Why
don't you tell our audience a little bit about your background so they can get familiar with what you do as well.
Okay, thank you. And yes, I'm so glad that, you know, Hillary has caused lots of damage, but not everywhere, thank God. And, you know, Mother Nature's not so happy. So we're getting it in all over the world in different ways. So going to my topic, first, I just want to say to anyone who would like to hear this, please, please go to Rose's website and make sure you get a copy of this and send it to as many people as you can and listen to it again and again, because there's going to be certain things that this may be the first time this was ever talked about. And so who am I? My name is Joyce Alexander Black. I have a master's degree in clinical psychology, specializing in individual couples and family therapy, currently working as a coach, NLP master practitioner, hypnotherapist. I've worked with many children and inner city children organizations from Los Angeles, Compton, Watts to Beverly Hills. I've also worked at the Hollywood YMCA, LA Children's Hospital, children's foster homes throughout LA areas, just to kind of give you an idea. I've also worked in the jails with some of the adult women in, I don't believe that it's still currently called Selma, but it was in the day that I was working called Selma Jails for Women Inmates. I've worked very hard in helping women and men and children and couples find their boundaries and their inner voice. Also have produced several TV shows. And the reason I have a special on this show, Children's Stress and Anxiety Management, called Healing Your Heart with Guided Imagery. You can get it on iTunes or Amazon, or go to my website and I can always help you out there. It's joycealexanderblack.com. So what I was really thinking is important is that what no other show has talked about and what children have told me, whether it was in foster care or all the different places that I've worked, is the children who were kidnapped were never told what to do if they were kidnapped. And the more I started to explore this, I more started to go back to that belief system that education, information is power. If you don't have that, you don't have the power. You have no idea. And so a lot of children who were kidnapped, they're like, my mom and dad always told me not to go with a stranger. But they never told me if I went with a stranger, what could happen. So what I've been noticing, and as you say, it's all over the world. It's been happening beyond people's even has like that we even knew how many years previous this has gone on. And what I think that is essential is having to tell your children how to be safe. Like, here's two examples that just happened this week. There was this woman in a store, I think it was Ralph's, I'm not sure, and some man saw her and said, I'm noticing another man watching you. I'm feeling uncomfortable with that. Could you be mindful of this man? She said, thank you so much, sure. And she started noticing how he was watching her inappropriately. Then when she went to to finish her sale, she told the manager. They called the police. There was a big van. The guy jumped in. And what they're doing now is not just taking the children. They're taking the mothers with the children, throwing them in, and sex trafficking them both. It's unbelievable. There's another story. This is just what I heard, not what has happened in the world, but just what I've heard this week. And it's only Wednesday. And there was a woman who was putting her baby in the car, and this man came in and he's trying to take her and the baby, and he's pulling the seatbelt, and she just screamed, you know, rape or whatever she screamed, you know, kidnapper, whatever. And then some other people came and helped her, and the guy ran away. Point being, there's so much to be said, and we only have a little bit of time here, but what I would really like to do is talk about why parents don't want to tell their children. They're afraid. This is what I've heard from the parents. I'm afraid
Joyce, before we get into that, first I wanted to let you know, sure, an audience that I was honored to meet, Sybil Brand, who was the founder of the women's prison named Sybil Brand, and we were at an event and we took a picture together, and I believe she passed away, but that was a real honor to be able to speak with her because I was leading this grassroots movement against injustices. So, and women prior to that, they were ending up in men's prisons and getting raped and all sorts of things happening to them. So, I mean, she was, I just wanted to give her the honor for and memory of starting Sybil Brand for women so that women could be separated from the men's prisons and feel a little more comfortable or safe, I should say, in a prison that didn't have the male access to them. So anyway, that was an exciting moment. And
that's an important moment. So thank you for that.
Yes. And also I read an article about this particular type of situation you were describing of how these guys were parking behind the market and they were from foreigners. I mean, not all of them, but the one particular ones in this article, they were immigrants. And what they were doing, who knows if they were illegally here too, because they don't vet them any longer like the law requires. So the only people that get vetted are the legal natural born Americans and legal naturalized Americans any longer. But anyway, the point right. was that they were parking these trucks or vans and looking for women who didn't look confident or weren't paying attention and kidnapping them or, and their kids. And they said that be aware of, you know, any trucks or vans that look suspicious and do not park near them and try not to go into shopping centers at night. That was their tip on protecting women and children.
Yes, that's really important. And I think that's great. Let's take a couple minutes and just talk about like options. Like, for example, I know a lot of mothers who think if they have a baby and they take the baby on a walk, oh, this is a great time. I can catch up with my friends and my baby, you know, is out of conversation. And they think of it like that. Well, I think those days are gone because what happens is they become a target attention. And it's like somebody, a friend of mine was telling me about how he was going to tell his girlfriend that she should take the dog with her. I said, is it like a Rottweiler? Is it a Shepherd? Is it a small dog? It's like, yeah, it's a small dog. I'm like, okay, so that's not probably going to be good. Why? It's distracting. Another thing she has to pay attention to. And I mean, I don't know how everyone's lives are different and you have to manage your time, but it's something to be said about paying attention, being mindful and aware of your surroundings. And when I lived in New York, that was something I had to learn. Just like you don't just walk across the street, and I'm not saying to be scared of New York, but I'm just saying it helped me become aware when I was in a neighborhood I needed to be conscious of. And I think that's where we're at now, that we have, like, this is an opportunity, and I hope a lot of mothers are listening and a lot of people who know mothers and families and children, and to just think about this. When you go and walk your child, how do you walk out the door? Is it, you know, are you fully confident? I've actually been there with a mother who left her children outside, and she goes, oh, I forgot my water bottle. I'm like, really? Thank God I was here. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just that awareness. Your child is in danger, and hopefully not. But if you're not paying attention, there's people out there. I can't even understand how anyone could do such a thing to a child. But the fact that it has happened, this is some of the things they can do. They can watch before they walk out the door, make sure they have a checklist, you know, keys, wallet, water bottle, whatever they need, and make sure from the moment they have their child out of the door, they're paying attention to what's going on around them. And I know, like, I had to tell my niece this, that when she walks her baby, like, pay attention. You know, I'm sure she does, but even, you know, even more so. And
they can actually take that child in a split second when you're not paying attention.
Yes.
Because in the mall, if a child is missing in a department store, they will usually, here's another tip, they will announce it and they will lock down all the doors everywhere so no one can go out of the store.
Brilliant.
Until that child is found. And I think all stores should do that. And then they describe the child.
Yes.
And everything so that people are aware in the store if they see that child. Another thing that people don't pay attention to, Joyce, is because I work in the cosmetic business. So another thing I noticed was people don't pay attention because they start getting sidetracked with whatever they're purchasing, or the child runs away and in the store playing, you know, playing hide and seek or whatever. And it only takes a split second for a bad person looking for a child to snatch that kid up. And you may never see him again, or hopefully they catch the guy and you get your child back. But there are certain things that department stores will do if a child is missing. And I think all department stores should do that, and to protect the children from being removed from the store.
I think that would be great. Again, because we have such limited time, I really want to do what we can to help these mothers be proactive, because it would be ideal. But one of the things that I see that keeps on happening is the conversation that I have with these mothers. And, you know, I know that from what I know about you, you believe, like I believe, knowledge is power, right?
Right.
And so knowing that, how could it be different from a child to an adult? Now, I understand that when you have a child, you can't just tell them everything, because you have to make sure you put it in the age appropriate and maybe speak to a therapist before you bring this up. Because I've also seen how some people bring it to their children and the children can't sleep because they're traumatized. Well, you don't tell them the whole story. You don't scare the child. There's ways to which you can describe it so they can be aware. So one of the things that I did with my niece when she was younger is I took her to Krav Maga classes. It was actually like Sepulveda and Sherman Way, I think, something like that. But anyway, they're all over. And whether it's Krav Maga or another self-defense, the reason I like Krav Maga is because it's not dependent on your sex or your weight. And I was talking to my nephew, who actually is a professional kickboxer. And I told him about talking with you today. And I said, do you have any advice for parents if they were to teach their children how to protect themselves? So he said, well, one of the things that a child can do, he said, is, you know, like, I can't really phrase this any polite way, so to speak, like kick them in the balls or whatever is in that area. And then kick them in the knees, which I thought was interesting. I said, why the knees? He says, because then you disable the person and then tell the child to run for their life. And these are the things that parents who like think they're protecting their child, and they're saying, well, I don't want to tell them because I want to keep them innocent and it's my job to protect them. I totally get it, but we're not living in that world. And here's an opportunity to teach them about life. And
I think that goes even appropriateness, though, because, you know, a small child couldn't do that, but age appropriateness, maybe they could be strong enough to do that and smart enough to do it quickly, because they do would need to run away, or they're even going to get punished
more. Of course, like you can't teach that. Right.
Suspect. The reason I was bringing up the tips on the department stores is because people don't have their kids, their little kids, on a leash. I think a leash is very important, because what I was trying to explain is that the kids run away from the parent because the mother gets distracted with her purchases or looking at clothes or whatever she's doing. So the child runs away. So my point was that if you're going to be in a mall and you have small children, don't walk ahead of them talking to your friends. I've seen that, where the little kids are just waddling behind them. Very dangerous. And also put them on a leash, a long leash, so at least you know that they're not going to escape or be kidnapped by someone else. That was my tip. I think the leash is really important. Yeah, I do.
I think that it's good. I think it's good. There's nothing I can see how a child may not like that. And I know some people put air tags on their kids so they can find out where they are. I mean, or cell phones, you know. There's lots of different ways that you have to work. But the number one thing you said, which was the parents wasn't paying attention. And sometimes in malls, women will go with their girlfriends and they'll talk about relationship stuff, which then distracts them. And so there's lots of ways to be distracted. But what I think is important is to think about, okay, how do we get, you know, this is what's happening. So to help a mother understand and the father, one of the things that's important when a person, if a person kidnaps the child, one of the ways that they manipulate the child is they say to them, you know, once you've come with me, or they find out what the parent says. So the parent will say, you know, don't go with strangers. Well, now that you went with me, your parent, your mom or dad, whoever said that, she won't forgive you. So they're not taught how to think. So what happens is they believe them. Then the second thing they say is, now that you've had sex with me, now they'll never love you again. So what I try to do is educate the parents and say, these are some things you could say to your kid. I'm going to give you a gold nugget. It's private. It's our secret. Do not, if anyone ever takes you, do not tell them this. There is nothing you can do, you can say, no matter what it is, that I will stop loving you. I will love you unconditionally no matter what. Do not tell anyone, because if they take you, they're going to try to convince you otherwise. I'm letting you know there's nothing. And that's the secret between you and me. No one else is to know. That helped so many kids. Think about a secret. This is something that they do, is they say, sometimes if somebody is raped and they say, this is the secret, don't tell your parents or I'll kill them. So to tell the kids this will never happen and there's no secret you need to keep with anyone. You're a child. You have to, you know, tell me, your parent, everything, especially important things for you or your friends. And I'll tell you a story that happened with me. When I was very young, I got into an argument with my brother, as kids do. He walked on the street and I thought, I'm so tough, and I walked in the alley. I was never touched. However, somehow this man knew that I really liked my, I think it was Mary Poppins. My mom gave me this Mary Poppins album. And she's like, you can't take it to school for show and tell, or you're, you know, someone will break it. And I promised her I would take really good care of it. So somehow he knew that. So he held it and he masturbated, and I saw that, and it was very hard. I was like in first grade. It was very difficult. I did not tell anyone that story because he told me if I say anything, he will kill my parents. Now, he had no idea who my parents were, and I went back, and I don't remember what story I gave, but I never even told anyone this story because once I became an adult and I understood it, I understood what he did. Point being, is my parents didn't know better, but if they told me, if you ever get taken, this person will lie to you, it doesn't matter, no possession. And kids are told by parents, you know, you have an expensive, you know, cell phone or iWatch or other watch or, you know, something like that, or computer. And so they put a base, they base things of importance in that. And so because of my Mary Poppins story, I can say that it's so important for parents to say, there's nothing important if you get, if someone wants to hurt you. Forget it. Don't worry about it. Run. And the other thing is, run into a store if you can and break the most expensive things, where their kids are told, don't break expensive things. This is the opposite. This is how you'll get attention. And then yell rape, yell kidnapping, yell anything, help, fire, anything to get attention. And hopefully that person will leave. But
well, actually, what I just really, you just struck up a note, because on Twitter, there were two different videos and two different scenarios. There was a man and a little girl sitting next to him. She's probably like 10. Anyway, somehow she was able to write help on her on her cup, and she gave it to the hostess, you know, and the hostess came back, and the attendant, she came back and she said, oh, the captain needs to talk to this child, you know. And he's like upset, you know, and she goes, sit down, the captain needs to talk to this child. And so that's how they caught that guy. They had the FBI waiting for him. And then another smart little girl I saw on video, they were walking down the street, and somehow she was able to write help on her hand, and she saw a camera. You know how they have cameras everywhere now. And she put her hand, palm of her hand up at the camera when the guy wasn't looking. And so I'm
brilliant.
Pretty sure they caught
brilliant.
Me. So that was really
right. Children
that were very aware that something bad was happening to them. And they really
right.
wanted to survive. And so, yeah, I mean, I thought that was really good tips and really smart, you know, to do.
It was
and,
really good. It was really, yeah, it was really traumatizing what happened to me, and something that, you know, causes fear and different things that one has to learn how to deal with. And I was never touched.
Well, I can tell
thank
you
God.
A short little, I can tell you a short little scenario happened to me. And my sister.
Can you just hold that thought for 1 second? I just wanted to tell you with this story of what happened. The point
oh, okay.
being, it's just that he said this is a secret, and the point
yeah.
being that what a lot of people do is they hurt children, saying keep it a secret or I'll kill your parent or something, and it's so important.
Right.
And this is why I keep on going back to parents. I understand you want to keep your child safe. I get it. And I get you want to keep them, you know, as young and happy as possible. There's ways to do this to where you can really help them. And such as if they took like physical Krav Maga or something else, then they know how to protect themselves. Their parents teach them. They have the repetitive conversations with their kids, like once a week. Let's say it's like, whatever, a Sunday once a week, and they're doing, you know, the physical activity, and they're telling the story of what do you do if you get kidnapped? You know, kick them in the balls, kick them in the knees, run. And then my nephew said something about the shins, and whatever your plan is, and every family lives in different cultures and countries and cities, and find what would work for you and your family and have that conversation. Learn how to start addressing this. So I've seen way too many children on their own, you know, parents leaving them in malls, go to the bathroom. There's so many different scenarios. And at least if you know you've done everything you could, you've got, you know, they know how to protect themselves physically. They know this golden nugget. You will always love them, and it's not for them to tell this person who's going to try to convince them otherwise that no matter what is done, no matter what is said, you will always be loved. That's like so important. And
I agree that's very,
you know,
very
and
important.
It's stressful. It's very stressful.
Just,
you know,
it is stressful.
It's hard as a parent to tell a child. It's very hard.
But it's also important to understand that there's so many different situations where children are with trusted people. And this is what I was going to explain, is that when I was a child, we were left with some cousins we didn't even know traveling overnight. And the husband came in and inappropriately touched me. And I woke up and I screamed at him, what
gosh.
Are you doing? And so... that morning, I tell my sister, let's leave until we were traveling with an uncle and aunt, until they come back and get us in the morning. And so we stayed out until noon away from that house waiting for them to come and get us. And we never said a word because I'm telling you that back then and even today, many, many children will not tell their parents, as you said. And I never told my parents ever about that story, but why we wouldn't go back in the house and why we stayed outside until we waited for them. And we didn't want anything to do with those people. And so with that husband and wife. And so anyway, that is traumatizing for children. It is so traumatizing and you never forget the situation. But then again, it's your own secret that you don't tell your parents because somehow you think it's your fault when it's not your fault. You're sleeping. And so
because it's important what you said, that
parents need to tell their kids they love them unconditionally because kids are afraid to tell their parents because they feel guilty, I think, in many cases. And
yes, but could it be what you just said?
That who you leave your children with, right?
Be what you just said, which was very interesting too, which is like you were saying how maybe about the secrets. Maybe the reason you felt you needed to keep the secret, I was told by the man that I had to, but maybe because we were not told imagine if we could go back and let's say tell our parents, I need you to tell me this. Maybe it would be if anyone shows you their penis or any kind of, you know, private areas, it's wrong and no one can touch you there. And that is not a secret you keep. That is a secret you tell me. So it's very clear. And then also any secret, anybody who does something that is makes you feel bad, trust that feeling. That's how God speaks to you. Or if you don't believe in God, your higher power, whatever it is. But that's your message to listen to. And if you have that, then if our parents, let's say, would have said that to us, we would have had a frame of reference. And I think what's happening now is that maybe because of our silence and what has happened to us, time that we take our experience and help other people say, you have a child now who doesn't have any information like we didn't. And knowledge is power, you know? If you could go back to your parent now, what would you tell them to tell you so you would know back then what to do?
Well, I have no idea because it was, it was something that people didn't talk about until the 90s when I was leading a grassroots movement and people were coming to me about judges and lawyers who had molested their children or taken them under their wing, who were in juvenile hall. And we fought against those cases. And eventually we got one judge removed from the bench and he was arrested because he had taken a little boy under his wing who was in juvenile hall. And he kept him since he was seven. And the boy finally ran away when he was 15 and got to the police and told them the story. And that's how the judge got caught. But even though members of the organization who were concerned about these issues were trying to speak out, people didn't want to pay attention. The public, I'm talking public, didn't want to believe it or pay attention because you're talking about something very, very, very serious that strikes home and nobody wants to think about the negative things that could possibly happen to their children. And they don't want to believe that judges or lawyers or politicians or, their relative could ever do such a thing to their child.
Well, and that's the number one problem that was in the day was your relative who could act like that. But today, this is so huge. And you know what you're saying? It reminds me of the school, and I'm not going to say which school, but there's a school in LA that used to be called a girl's school. And they did that because it was for girls, and they wanted people to be able to find it who had a girl or who had a girl thought to take them there. However, one girl got raped. Now the name has changed. It's no longer called Girls School. And I was saying this to a mother, and I said, you know, I understand your need to protect your child and make them feel safe. And I totally get that. But one is too much. Like, one is too much. If we believe that anything in life about knowledge is power, then maybe the conversation next should be, how do I protect my child in a world that we live in today? Because here's two examples of you and me, and this was many years ago, and things are heightened beyond now. And I'm sure every woman has a story. I'm sure many men have stories. And I think, and I also want to say, it's not just to tell their daughters, also their sons. Boys are also being taken. And it's really important to realize that if you just take a minute, if I could say one thing to every mother and father, just take a minute and think. If something does happen to your child and you don't talk to them about what they could do, they won't know. And the only person they'll have to listen to is the kidnapper. So your best form of ammunition, their best form to help them fight is to slowly teach them. Maybe it starts with just teaching them self-defense. Maybe it's starting with that and talking about, well, the reason you're taking these classes is sometimes there's bad people in the world. And if someone tries to hurt you, it's important to get away, like run as fast as you can. And it's a slow process. It's different for every child and different ages, as also you were saying. It's very important because there are people who decide, I want to tell my child, I just met someone who said, I want to tell my child everything. And then, unfortunately, her child is not sleeping at night. Why? I said to her, well, what did you say? It's like, well, I told them how scared, my son, how scared I am, and this is why. I said, okay. So then I gave her some ideas of how to help him so it's not so magnified now. But the point is that knowledge is power, and there's just ways to do it that can help. And these are just a few things that I came up with and I've seen along the way, you know, and what you're saying about people who look like a victim type personality, that is what rapists look for. I've also worked with rapists, and profiling that is people who look down, they're not paying attention, their shoulders are down, and they watch that. They're just standing in the distance, people watching. And that's something also to be aware. Notice the people who are not doing anything, who are people watching. And
also, I think that there should be like legal. I don't know if it is legal, but I think there should be like legal types of loud alarms that children could press, or loud, and only for and. Really explain to them this is only if something happens and we need to locate you or somebody needs to help you or, you know, scare the guy away or the woman away, because there's females too, you know, not just the males.
Oh, a lot of females are the ones who are taking them.
And
a lot of the females are taking them.
Well, in fact, there were cases of unethical, immoral social workers, child protective services agents who were actually taking children away from good parents, accusing them of child abuse, and coming with the police, taking their children, shocking the people, the parents. pleading with them not to take their child. They're not child abusers, but they were doing it anyway, illegally, unlawfully, unconstitutionally. And it was called Bribes for Children, I think it was. Bribes for Kids.
It's really hard to really wrap your head around this. Isn't it really hard to wrap your, like, I can't even imagine how anybody could think to do this. I mean, when I was in grad school, I heard a story from a girl in school, and she had her father take her and her brother to be in porn movies and told them that they had to do that to pay the rent. Otherwise, they'd live on the street, and they would get an ice cream afterwards and not to tell the mother. And I've never heard of people who would do that. I'm so saddened that there are people who don't get this, that their unconscious leaves them for whatever the reason. And if anyone out there is listening and who is part of it, please get some help. And it's not okay. I don't even know the kind of word I would use. It's so devastating and traumatizing, and it changes that person's life forever.
I think with the dark web and access to all of these different sites, I think it's increased because of the glorification of violent sex and guns and shooting police and video games. Kids spend hours playing those games, shooting police, shooting people with these violent video games. And then the cartoons that are violent and sexual today. And it goes on and on and on with all these people who are into these sexual preferences that include children that are inappropriate and used to be monitored by the public and by the religious groups. But today we have priests and pastors who have been accused of the same. So we're talking about people in positions of trust who have failed America.
Look at this girl I went to school with. That was her father. Her father.
That's what I'm saying.
We have people,
But a lot of these people are held up in high esteem and with their titles and their wealth or whatever they have. I don't know. I don't deny anybody that, but titles or wealth or whatever. But I mean, these are supposed to be people in trustworthy positions, like a priest or pastor or, you know, and the bottom line is that everybody's a human being regardless of the title.
Absolutely. I think that the more awareness I have as a human being, the more I respect people's awareness over any titles or money, because I've been in the Hollywood scene. I've been here, there. It's all about who you are as a person. How do you care? How do you pay attention? And that's like, you know, it's like this whole situation needs the world to wake up and start noticing. And I think part of the thing is when you start noticing people around you, you start becoming aware, hey, wait a second, what's really happening? And wherever you are, you can see that. And it's not to make parents fearful and not go out. It's just to be aware that we're living in this time, and we're not living in a time that you can close your eyes. And I mean, there is really no answer to, like, this woman who was putting her child in the car. This is how you do it. You put your child in a car seat and then you put the seatbelt on. There's not another option. If she's not with another person, that's on her to do both. And so being aware that people are using those moments as vulnerability. Maybe it needs to be where she tells somebody next to her and say, I'm about to put my child in the car. could you please stand right next to me just in case? I mean, maybe we need to start engaging a second person with us, even if we're not going with a second person. There's another woman or man in the store that you feel comfortable with, and a manager of a store, and you can say, could you please send someone out? I need to go to the car, put my child in, and I don't feel safe right now. Boom. You're going to get somebody.
I think that's a good tip, but I think we also have to remember that today, in today's society, people also fear each other, especially since the lockdown, and they also judge each other, and they don't have the same trust as they did in the past with acts of kindness, and they're fearful they get involved in something that they may end up being arrested instead of a suspect. And it's happened. And also, you mentioned the father and the child with the porn. And bottom line is, I've interviewed women who became counselors or psychologists because they had suffered from incest because of their fathers. And rarely, I heard mothers too, who abuse their children that way. And so it's such a huge, huge issue that it's got so many levels. It's like an onion, you know, huge giant onion that people are trying to peel and see, you know, get to the layers, but there's so many layers to it because it's worldwide.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you have such knowledge of all these things that has happened with history. It's amazing. And I think it's important to remember that love is the strongest force in the world. And when you show your kids love, when you nurture them, when you take care of them, and living in the society that we do today, it's also to let them know there's nothing you could say or do I would ever stop loving you, and I will always look for you. No matter what anyone tells you, I will always look for you. And this way, they don't feel alone, and they can have a golden nugget and say, here's a golden nugget from you. It could be from your mom, from your dad. It could be from both your parents. We will always love you, and if you ever get taken, don't tell them, but we will be looking for you, and we will always love you no matter what is said or done. There's nothing. And, you know, saddens me that we even have to have this conversation, because there's so many kids out there who are not protected and are easy prey because both parents have to work. They're latchkey kids. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Well, we also have to look at the fact that the government has open borders, and open borders is an open door to floodgates with open ports, open borders, non-vetting of these unidentified foreigners from third world countries coming into our country with the drugs, with the guns, and trafficking children in and out. And there's tunnels to hotels, tunnels to stores, underground facilities. It is so huge that anyone who actually attempts to expose it seems to disappear. It's not funny, but it does seem that way.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it's reality.
You're absolutely right.
I look at things as they are, as I was told. I reviewed the cases when people would come to me and consult with me. And I mean, the corruption is so huge that like Senator DeCamp said, he was told himself by a higher power. He goes, look, you can only do what you can do. He goes, and he said, but this is massive. And it's going to take a very, very long time to wake up the public.
Well, that's his opinion, and then they have lots of stuff being told now. I'm hoping that's not the case, but you're right. It does. It's all the stuff that has allowed it to happen, and to be aware of, well, why is it this difficult, and how long has this been going on that we've closed our eyes, and what happens when you close your eyes? Things get worse. Same thing with like any part of life. If you don't, you know, eat right, there's a problem. If you don't exercise, you gain weight. I mean, there's certain things that there's just basic math. And sometimes the consequences are okay. Sometimes they're not. Point is, everybody has to make the right decisions for themselves. And hopefully,
well, even
now,
when kids were growing up, our neighborhoods were pretty safe, and they there was lots and lots of kids. You know, they'd come to the house, and we had a swimming pool. They'd go swimming. We'd have parties with the kids, and there was kids riding bicycles and skating and all this. And today, I don't see any kids in our neighborhood, and this is a lot of families here, young families. They're either retired or young families. And you don't see any kids. You don't see kids riding their bikes and roller skating because they're in their room watching these video games or whatever else they're watching, these violent cartoons. That's their babysitter today because parents have to work and they're tired, both parents. So it's such a huge problem.
But there's,
you know,
right, but there's also the other aspect. If they're on the street, that and without a parent there, then they could be taken. And then there's also the music. There's music out there that talks about violence, that, you know, certain types of music that may not be the best thing. But again, this is the world we live in. But at least if we could give children the options to have something, not go in blind. So they have something, if God forbid they're taken or, you know, whatever, if they're taken, they have power. They don't have to feel completely powerless. And
I think you said something really important right there. First, God is unconditional love, and people aren't teaching their kids about God and his unconditional love and that he will protect them. And that he is their protector and their strength. And the parent, too, has unconditional love. I think those are two really strong secrets that parents could share with their children, like you said, but include God, too, because how many times have people who said, I don't believe in God, and something happens, it's like, oh, God, help me. That's the first thing comes out.
I know. Right. This is a story about an airplane crashing. And then this for everyone saying, oh, I don't, all these people say, I don't believe in God. And then you get them, you know, praying one way or another. But I think the reason I'm saying that, you know, I think that this part is about however anyone believes. It's not about, you know, this is about what I really hope I can give is the importance of educating the children. And what to do in case. And then the other thing that people have said to me is, well, what happens when the child comes home? And let's say they've gone through horrible, you know, situations where there's sex trafficking. Well, that is a very important time for not only the child, but the parents and the children, other children in the family unit, to get family therapy. Why? Because new normal. It will never go back, and that's not a bad thing because now things are different, but it's finding how to deal with this, your child who's been sex trafficking, and how to manage them and help them to be, you know, a strong, mindful adult, and, you know, as they grow. And it's so important to get as much therapy in the beginning and not wait, even if they don't want it, like really talk about the importance because you need to talk it through. And then there's my children and stress and anxiety management recording, and that children have listened to while they go to sleep. It's also really unique about mine is probably the only one that I know out there that there's a child doing a guided imagery. So you have a child being a child. There's also stories like what to do, go to your teacher, go to your parents, you know, go into a store. There's things that children will hear better from a child's voice. And there's just so much to be said with that. And I just really want to say that the important thing is to remember that whoever has gone through this, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be dealing with this afterwards. And if we could help in any way, like, please, you know, let us, you know. And, you know, who knows? Maybe this will be something that we can do more than one show on. I don't know if you like that idea. It would be something to think about maybe in the future.
That would be perfect. But unfortunately, today we ran out of time. But I really want to say God bless you and keep up the good work. And yes, we will do it again. And because without the children being of sound mind and having self-esteem about their own lives and feeling and knowing they are not guilty of anything, they did nothing wrong. And we should talk about that next time as well. So God bless you, Joyce.
I love that.
Alexander
God
Black,
bless you. You are so amazing. And you are incredible with knowledge base and contacts and people that you've met and the knowledge that you know. You are like, thank you so much for adding that to everything. It's so important.
Thank you, Joyce, and thank you, audience, for listening. And God bless you and your children and protect them. And we will talk to you again next Wednesday.
Before you hang up, can you just tell everybody where they can get this recording so they know where to go to?
Oh, sure. They can get this particular recording at blogtalkradio.com/Columbo Chronicles. Columbo is C-O-L-O-M-B-O. And you can also go to my new channel, Google in, on my new YouTube channel, Columbo Chronicles, and the shows will pop up there, all taped live with wonderful experts and authors such as Joyce Alexander Black, and a myriad of topics that will improve your life with and empower you, enlighten you, and educate you. Okay, well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back, God willing. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Columbo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Columbo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.